It's the Bill Murphy Show, a daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
Yep, it's Wednesday, January 5th, and this is your digital broadcast, The Bill Murphy Show. Sorry for the day off yesterday. I suddenly came down with the flu and was not broadcast ready yesterday. Hanging in there today, Panther game tonight, and also live original music tonight at Lulu's Bait Shack on the beach on A1A in Beach Place. Cairo and Trip Don't Fall, the two bands playing original music for you tonight, so don't miss it. Also brought to you by Lulu's Bait Shack, the home of the original music night, as usual. And today I could not wait to get this show posted because something has come up in the last couple of days that I just needed to talk about. And Bob Leonard has joined me as well for this. How are you, Bob?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I had to reach out. Here's what happened. We had this story come up with this Ted Williams guy, this homeless guy that has now gotten all these offers because he was part of the most viral video, and I guess in the history of YouTube in the last 24 hours. And there's just so many things about this that I wanted to discuss. It was the only time I've ever wanted to just get this podcast going and just talk by myself for 30 minutes. But then I thought about how just painful.
Oh, I can sit here and shut up if you'd like.
I just thought about how painful that would be. Then the other extreme I thought of was getting every radio person I could think of on at the same time, you know. And then this is also one time where I really wish that we had, like, the ability to be live and have people call in with comments on this, because there's just so much here to discuss. And Bob, since you've been a guest on the show before, but for people who aren't familiar with you, give everybody an idea of your credibility for being on the show here. You can be heard locally on, what is it?
I can't be heard locally at all.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I can't be heard locally at all, which has been a thorn in my side in radio for over a quarter of a century.
That's true.
I have been in the business for 45 years.
Right.
I have worked in some small markets at the beginning, but I worked at WYSP in Philadelphia, which at the time was the number 4 market, did the first two-man morning show in the history of
and that was the last time that was the last time you were on locally.
Yeah, that's right. And that was with Sonny Fox.
Right.
Sonny and I were Fox and Leonard. We did the first two-man morning show on rock and roll radio.
Right.
And on FM radio, I found out.
And then you were part of the Satellite Music Network, which was out of Dallas, but not in Dallas.
Well, no. Originally, I went to WLS in Chicago. I got offered a job in Los Angeles. I turned it down because I didn't like L.A.
Right.
They went to Memphis and hired an unknown by the name of Rick Dees, and you see where he's gone.
Right.
And I went to WLS in Chicago. I was there for a couple of years and got offered a job with the fledgling Satellite Music Network in 1981, something that had never been done. They said, we're going to try to broadcast by satellite to small and medium markets around the country. And I stayed there for 25 years till it became the ABC Radio Network. I worked for ABC for 25 years and was syndicated on about 240 stations around the world, including
right.
The People's Republic of China. So I currently work for a traffic reporting company. I'm a news anchor. And this will tie into what we're going to be talking about.
Sure.
I'm anchoring news now in Tampa, Melbourne, and Orlando, and I do some stuff for Jacksonville as well.
So if you're in any of those markets, you can be heard locally.
If those stations are your idea of a good time, and they wouldn't be for me, so honestly, I wouldn't be listening to that crap.
Now, and boy, you know, and this the whole main topic of this episode is pipes, and boy, you've got them, Bob. You've got that voice that we all sort of, you know, envy and wish that we had, you know?
Well, but as you well know, Bill, it's got very little to do with the voice. I mean, you can have the voice, but
right.
You got to have something to back it up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy, Ted Williams, I hope he's got the goods
to
back up the pipes, because he sounds great.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on that now. So on the
we're going to disagree about this, because let me tell you, I was out of work for a couple of years, and during that time...
Out of work, though, is one thing. When you weren't panhandling, were you?
No, but I was pretty close. I mean, I went through a six-figure 401k in about 2 years.
Okay.
And we lost our house. And it was coming to the point where I would have done anything if it meant panhandling just to get a bill paid. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time a couple of times. And fortune smiled on me, and I was able to reinvent from doing morning shows into doing news. But I did that by sending a smooth jazz air check, which means a tape of me on the radio playing jazz,
right,
to a news station and said, hire me as a newscaster. I happened to know somebody there because I knew her,
okay.
and we had taught together. She said to the news director, hire him, he'll learn.
Okay.
And at that, but again, right place at the right time.
Well, so maybe we are going to disagree on some of this.
I think
then.
We're going to disagree on some of this for sure.
Okay. Now, here's the way I want to go with this, because I've got all of my notes here organized. There's a lot of points I want to bring up about this, but to give an overall view of how I want to go about this, I want to take two different angles on this. And the first angle is scam or not scam, okay? We want to talk about that, the possibility of this being a complete hoax. And then if it's not a scam at all, there's an entirely new other subject that we need to discuss about this, and that is sobriety, homelessness, recovery, all that sort of stuff, and how it relates to
I'm ready for you, man, because first of all, I don't think it's a hoax.
Okay.
I mean, I looked at the guy, and I'm looking at, I have a tendency because
well, you and 4 million other people don't think it's a hoax either, so.
Well, let me just say that in the course of doing what I've done, and for 25 years at ABC, I had to be prepared. I knew my audience was, and you'll see where I'm going with this, I knew my audience are 25 to 49-year-old females. So, consequently, I watched Oprah intently every day. I watched The View intently every day. I read Ladies Home Journal every week. I read Red Book every week. And this was with a fine-tooth comb because I wanted to know who my audience was.
Okay.
I paid attention to detail in this guy between his hair and his teeth. And I mean, this is not a hoax, man. This guy was out there homeless.
Did you see the guy cleaned up this morning on the Today Show?
I did. Okay. Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, all right. By the way, I didn't think the hair was all that bad, to tell you the truth.
I thought it looked great. I'm surprised. I was a little disappointed that he cut it.
No. I'm saying before he cut it, that was quite...
Well, I was disappointed
that he cut it. It's quite the style, and I don't think that's your normal, everyday homeless person's hairstyle, but that's a whole other story.
But it wasn't a hairstyle. I mean, if you looked at it, it was just kind of flying all over the place, man.
Okay, kind of by design, maybe. How about the beard, the stubble?
Kind of by design.
No, listen. How about that beard? Because, he did have the stubble, but it was very neatly trimmed around the mustache and sort of a goatee shape, and so the sides of his face and cheeks were very smooth. The man definitely owned a razor.
You can still look good for your job, and even if it's panhandling,
all right,
you
got
to make an impression.
Okay,
man.
Fine. All right, then I'll go ahead and add this to the mix. All right. He was featured this morning on a Columbus, Ohio Clear Channel radio station.
Don't mention them.
Now,
I'm not a fan.
A pitifully unpopular Clear Channel radio station, by the way, okay? Because I did look into this. Now, these days, in the world of social networking that we have, you can really get a good gauge on how popular or how popular something is or some person is by their Facebook page. These guys, Jimmy and Davey, whatever their names are, have a Facebook page for their morning show for their Clear Channel station. Up till today, every little bit of a little thing that they would post would get maybe 10, 9, 15 comments tops.
Okay.
I mean, I know normal everyday people that have Facebook pages that post something and get 60 comments a day. All right? That's for number one. So if that's a relative sort of indication of how popular they are, then they're not. Today, their post about having Ted Williams on got 400, 500, 600 comments the last time I checked.
Well, of course it did, because everybody's paying attention to
this guy. Of course. Now, that's
and because he's also in Columbus, Ohio, on a street corner.
Yeah.
And he is also at the mercy of whoever's local. I mean, if these guys are the only thing in town, Columbus isn't the biggest market in the
Bob
world.
Is Ted Williams a friend of yours?
No, but let me say, when I saw Ted Williams, the first thing I thought was I saw him at Fenway when I was a kid, man. And he was the greatest hitter and one of the best,
The frozen head lives.
The frozen head lives, and it's standing on a street corner in Columbus with a wacky hairdo.
Just to finish making my point, I think that the popularity of this, the unpopularity of this radio station's show is one thing to raise an eyebrow about. 4.5 million views in 24 hours on this YouTube video. It's probably going to be the most historically viral video in the history of YouTube once it's all said and done.
And
24 hours is not enough time for all of the news outlets and the press to go and do their backgrounds and their research.
Sure it is, Bill.
Check
that.
No, it's not.
It's plenty of time.
You can't find out all the details.
I have a friend who was with ABC News here in Miami. His name is Matt Gutman.
You know what, Bob? Maybe I will do this show all by myself today.
Yeah, that's what we need, one side.
Right.
My friend Matt Gutman is a reporter for ABC News. When the oil spilled in the Gulf of Mexico, he was there within hours covering it.
Okay.
I mean, that can be done in today's world with our technology. Mm. It can be done.
Yeah, but the verification of where this guy's been, where he actually came from, and what his situation is, could not have been uncovered in this 24 hours.
No, okay. But it had to take a little bit of time to put that up. I mean, the guy, and to get people to watch it, the guy from the Cleveland Plain dealer driving down the street saw him, recorded him, and I'm sure it took him a few days to get that.
Okay.
To get it seen.
I'll give you that. Hey, by the way, did you know that this actually was kickstarted by a tweet from the folks over at some old friends of ours over at the Ticket in Dallas, where they're actually
really?
The ones. This is what I read, that a tweet that someone from the Ticket in Dallas posted yesterday is really what got this to the next level and made it go viral. So maybe when in a part two of this, I'll talk to one of the folks over at the Ticket.
There you go.
And see what's going on there. Also,
it's very possible and very probable.
And
it can, in today's world, with today's technology, as you well know, doing the show, it can happen within 24 hours, easily.
Okay. Well, and being an old guy, you might be able to be an authority on this. Does the guy look 71 to you?
71? He's 71?
That's what he claims.
Jeez. No, right. But I'm told I don't look my age either.
All right,
but, you know.
He says he's 71, and he said he's clean for 2 years, so...
Okay. Well, let me give you this, too, about sobriety and radio.
Wait, we're leaving that for the second half of the show.
Okay.
Right, sorry. I just want to try to keep things relatively organized. The other point I want to make about this is that, first of all, going back to not really knowing enough background information on the guy in 24 hours, it had to be impossible for the Cleveland Cavaliers to offer him the arena job and a full-time voiceover job, a sports team full-time voiceover job. I don't know. I've never heard of that before.
He also got offered a $10,000 voiceover contract
from a credit union.
A credit union,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's been offered radio jobs,
right,
but not with Clear Channel or that station.
No one in the history of employment, as far as I know, has been hired with only heard about the guy for 24 hours without doing any sort of a background check on him. But okay. That's all I'm saying.
Let me ask you this real quick. You've been in this business a while, and you know what everything is based on, the ratings, right?
Right.
You want to get ratings. Everything is about the ratings.
Course.
What kind of a stud is this? Everybody's going to tune in to hear this guy.
No, and my point on that is exactly what you're saying, and that is the Cleveland Cavaliers have far more to gain from the publicity of being part of this story,
sure,
as they do from any voice work that this guy's going to do for them.
Absolutely.
All right, so we agree on that at least.
Yes. Well, we're going to agree on more, but we'll disagree on quite a bit.
Now,
I'm
he
sure.
said, now in his little tear-filled moment on the morning today, whatever show that he was on this morning, he said that his mom is alive, is 91, and lives in Brooklyn, and he was going to finally get a chance to go see her in Brooklyn. Now, if he's been clean for 2 years, and he's been a professional panhandler for the last 2 years, and he's been homeless, I mean, isn't the first place you turn to your family? All of a sudden, now he wants to go visit his mom? Couldn't he have found his way from Columbus to his mom in Brooklyn, and maybe that would have taken care of some of his homelessness?
Not necessarily. My mom lives in Rhode Island. I haven't seen her in 4 years. I can't get up there because I can't afford it, because my paycheck is an insult that I tried to write off as volunteer work. When I was in Texas, I couldn't get home to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't afford it. I got five kids.
Okay.
You know, everything has circumstances involved around it that could make it impossible.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I would see, if you were estranged from your family, it's one thing. It's many reasons why people become homeless, I'm
right.
sure. But I that would be understandable. But to have a 91-year-old mother in Brooklyn, I mean, first of all, why wouldn't you want to be there to help take care of her and vice
well,
versa?
I don't know. You don't know the backstory.
Know the details. Okay. All right, Bob. Well, thanks for dispelling any thought of mine that this might be a scam. Now let's go ahead.
Well, you can still feel that way.
No, I can.
I have a feeling that you're such a conspiracy theorist at this point that if somebody said to you, who shot the Kennedys, you could say, I did, and it was a conspiracy.
All right, well, that's the reason I'm doing this show. I'm doing this show now, and I could very well be wrong. And from what
you may be right.
And I may be wrong, but I wanted to get this show posted and have us talking about it this quickly so that a day or two from now or a week from now, when some other stuff might be uncovered about this, I can say I told you so.
And let me say, if that is the case, give me a hat and I will eat it.
All right. Okay, fine. Now, exactly 15 minutes into the show, this is perfect because we've talked about all these facts for the first half. Now let's go into the second half of this show on the assumption that this is not a scam and it's completely the heartfelt, beautiful, tear-jerking story that we've all heard and read and fell for.
And let me tell you, we fell for it, and I did too. And if it is the case, I'm a little upset by it because I spent 2 years out of work. The Clear Channels of the world that took over this industry and made radio the crap it is today did so at the expense of a lot of my colleagues and friends who are now looking for jobs and on the verge of being homeless.
Right.
Why couldn't they get the job?
No,
this
exactly.
This guy went viral and he got the publicity, that's why.
Exactly right. Oh, and I was just making the point to another friend of mine about the endless, bottomless pool of possible one-liners on this story is just, we could go on and on for hours.
It is a comedy gold mine.
It is a comedy gold mine. And I mean, let's just...
you wouldn't believe what I'm resisting right now.
Go ahead. Let's just let him out.
Okay. That's okay.
All right. No, because it's true. And here's the thing. And at the risk of sounding insensitive, not that I haven't sounded insensitive for this whole show so far, but this is where I do tread into an area where I could be considered to be insensitive.
Okay.
And I want to talk about sobriety. Now, you and I have had our battles in our lives. I don't know, and I'm not going to get into it in my personal part of it or yours, but we also have seen many people around us that have been victims of dependency and have seen some tragic results from it.
This is a business, Bill, as you well know. You've been in it a long time. That the words radio, drugs, and alcohol have always been synonymous, man.
Uh-huh.
And especially when I was coming up through the late 60s through the 70s, when Sonny and I were doing the show in Philly. My God, man. I mean, what drug wasn't available? What bit of alcohol wasn't there? How many people? I knew a guy. His first name was Bob. I don't remember his last name. Who would come into the studio absolutely loaded. He couldn't talk, but when the mic went on, he was so lucid, and he would do a newscast like nothing you've ever heard.
Uh-huh.
Mic went off, and he'd pass out.
Hey, I know several people that would have almost the same exact story.
Yeah, I know most people in this business, as long as we've been, certainly as long as I have, know a lot of people like that.
No.
And it's probably their story as well. I mean, I had my demons, quite a few of them, man, throughout the years.
All right, I'm going to bounce this off you now. We've both known people that have had serious pipes. I mean,
sure.
Pipes that are even much better than Ted Williams. And not only the pipes, but the chops to go along with it, because we both know that it requires chops as well as just a tonal quality.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, there are any number of people that I could think of that are worthy of the jobs that were offered to this Ted Williams guy today, who have not had dependency problems,
have not ended up
on the street panhandling, and have not had everybody feel sorry for them because they're in 2 years of recovery, and now they deserve all these opportunities. There have been any number of opportunities that have slipped through the cracks for hundreds, maybe thousands of radio personalities and people that wanted to get into the industry that were just passed over. They weren't respected for not being having a dependency problem and not having to go through recovery. It just seems that we live in a world now where people are just treated so and rewarded, and you know what I mean? There's so much sympathy for people that recover as opposed to people that live a straight life and try to do things the right way.
You know what this is, Bill? I see this whole thing as being a classic case of right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And his sign was just a master stroke of marketing. And I mean, and I really do believe he wrote out the sign, he stood on the corner trying to make a buck, or anybody who'd give it to him, he'd throw him his pipes, and this guy from the newspaper happened to be there. And suddenly it gets on YouTube, everybody's seeing it, sending it to everybody else, and it's a classic case. Like I said, he was in the right place at the right time, and if I was out of work and in his position, and I was on the streets panhandling, I wish I had the wherewithal to think of something like that.
Right. Now, I also don't want people to misunderstand me or think that I'm claiming to have the voice quality that Ted Williams does, or the same kind of, or I can do the same sort of delivery that he can. I'm not claiming that at all.
You don't have to, because that's not what you do. What you do really well, and you've done it well for a lot of years.
Okay, but however, there has been an inherent sort of tightly knit circle that you need to penetrate before you're able to get into this business and do the type of voiceover work which has just basically been handed to him on
That's
a silver
true.
Platter.
That's and true. And let me just say that
this is the kind of thing that I resent about this story in particular. Okay?
I might too. And let me just say that you told me you think I have a good set of pipes. In every market I've been in, I've tried to do voiceover work. I've picked up bits and pieces of it. But in every market I was in, there were also two or three people who had it all sewn up. They were the ones who did all the work that came through. And I even had an agent at one point who the idea of auditioning for somebody was to put everybody at her agency on a tape, on a reel, and send it to the client and go, here, pick somebody you like. What are the odds? So again, right place, right time. I mean, if he went out hitting the agencies or even got an agent to do this, he probably wouldn't get any more work than I did, man.
No,
I got a few here and there. You know, I picked up a couple of things, but it was never anything like my friend Bill St. James, who got to quit radio because, I mean, he's the voice of everything from Showtime to Nickelodeon to Lipton Cup of Soup to Lufthansa Airway. He does everything now, but at the time, you know, he was a disc jockey trying to make a buck, man.
Now, again, I want to reiterate that I have, maybe at the risk of trying to get all of this information out in one 30-minute segment with you, Bob, I may have sort of, you know, given the wrong impression to some people about how I'm going about this and my angle that I'm taking on this. I'm trying not to be insensitive, but I do think that there is an issue here about sobriety and about recovery and about all and about the way people are treated once they're okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The one liner that I could make about this, if I wanted to make a joke about it, the joke I'd make is, "Boy, I really need a dependency problem quick."
That was a funny line. You used that on me earlier, and I cracked up.
You know, because if I had a dependency problem, and everybody thought, "Oh man, did you hear about Bill? He's been on crack for 6 months, and now he's recovering. Somebody help him out. Let's get him a gig." You know,
if you went on YouTube with that before Ted Williams, you'd be getting the jobs now. And let me just say that the fact that we are taking opposite viewpoints is the only way to get all points across, to let people make up their own mind.
Oh, sure. It's,
I mean,
yeah,
it's
tell,
like,
everybody, tell everybody that we have opposite viewpoints. Make me be the bad guy here.
you chose it, man. You called me and said, you didn't say which side do you want. I just told you how I felt.
This is a very strange sort of technological viral world we live in. And I think that this story is taking things to the next level. It's amazing to me because once you look at a video that's been up for 24 hours and has had 4.5 million hits,
right,
there's so many companies, entities, people, advertising agencies that wished they could have jumped on board for that, but you just have no way of knowing that a viral video is going to be viral before it is. So it's very odd that you can't jump on that bandwagon before it happens, and everybody would love to. Everybody would love to have exposure to 4.5 million people.
Well, everybody would love to be Ted Williams today, just like everybody would love to have been Justin Bieber not long ago. Nobody knew who Justin Bieber was.
Right.
He had a video on YouTube. Now he's a star.
Right. Well, I'm not actually talking about the subjects themselves. I'm talking about, you know, companies wanting to be involved or having a sponsor tag to it. Or, God,
sure,
even product placement in that video would have been unbelievable for somebody. You know what I mean?
It would have been amazing.
Yeah,
and that's marketing today.
Right.
That's utilizing today's technology the way it's supposed to be used.
That's why I say that the Cleveland Cavaliers and Quicken, the company that they're associated with, who have supposedly paid a mortgage on a house for Ted to live in, are doing the best they can to jump on board and take advantage of this. And it's not so much that they're showing charity for him, but it's that they're getting their piece of the pie as best they can that's out there right now for this week or month or however long this is going to last.
We agree with that wholeheartedly, the two of us, and that's because that's what it's all about. Let me just say, if this is a scam, it is a brilliant scam.
Yep.
My hat is still off to the guy.
Right.
Because he's a marketing genius. And if it's not a scam, my hat's off to him because finally he'll go to work like the rest of us would like to do.
That's the only thing I can't really pinpoint by calling it a scam, because I can't think, you know, for the life of me, who to pin it on, because I don't think it was these Jimmy and Davey guys or whoever it is on this radio station.
If it was anybody, it was the Cleveland Plain Dealer and that guy who stopped to get the video.
Yeah, possibly. But
even if that's the case, it's still a brilliant stroke of marketing genius.
Now, what is the difference? What sets things off And I mean, I don't expect you to know the answer to this. I'm just throwing it out there.
Speculation.
Where do you cross the line? What is the factor that makes that you know, you put a video out there and it gets seen by a couple of thousand people, and then another video comes out and it goes a half a million, a million, a million, a half in a week? I mean, what is the thing that sets those two apart and helps it spread? That's a question that I can't answer myself. But
I'll tell you what I think helped this spread, because I helped it, and that's Facebook. You get people on Facebook. I mean, all it takes is one person to send it to their friends. They send it to all their friends. I mean, I put it up yesterday. I saw it. A guy I know in Dallas put it up, and I liked it. I heard the guy, and I went, oh, my God, listen to this guy. And excuse me. It's like I'm going on the air. I had to clear my throat. So I immediately put it up on my Facebook page, and I've got, like, almost 1,000 friends, and a lot of them are in radio. They heard it, put it up on their Facebook pages, and everybody's doing this. That's how something goes viral. I mean, it might have been a video where I didn't think the guy was that good, and I didn't put it up. And so my friends, consequently, would not have put it up. You know, I mean, it's just a question of luck, I guess. Timing, man. Right place, right time.
Yeah, I was going to record the segment of the Howard Stern show that I heard this morning, because Howard actually played the audio of this morning, and it talked about it, and it started out by saying, please, everybody out there that knows me, that's been sending me the YouTube video of this homeless guy, please stop. I've seen it 25 times. I know what the deal is, and it's a hoax.
So he
said that he had heard from somebody that it was a hoax. However, he didn't really have anything to back that up with. And that was the thing that got me started on this. And actually, as early as yesterday, I was thinking to myself, this could be a hoax. So that's the only reason I'm throwing it out there.
That's okay, Bill. Even if it was a hoax, like I said, you know, there are a lot of us out of work, and we could go into the reasons why and the clear channels and the conglomerates and the consolidation and how everybody's out of work these days. Well, if somebody comes up with some marketing, even if it's a hoax, I mean, we're all actors, man.
Yep.
I could play homeless and get out there with a sign and hope that it goes viral, too. But now it's been done.
Right. Now you got to find another gig.
Now you got to find a different hoax to perpetrate, or just a different marketing tool.
Well,
it's basically, I mean, he marketed himself brilliantly with that if he thought of it himself.
Yep.
If he's just a homeless guy, then he just hit the jackpot, man.
Right place, right time. If it just happened like it happened, and if it was perpetrated by him, he's even more brilliant than any of us know.
Exactly. I really can't hate the guy either way.
No. I can't either. And I can't. And if anybody here is thinking that I do, I have nothing against the guy. I do happen to think he does have great pipes.
He sounded wonderful.
He's got a great sound. He does sound a little more experienced to me than he's leading on to be. I'm wondering what happened in that 54 years between 14, when he said he took a field trip and met an air personality who told him about theater of the mind.
Yeah.
And then now when he's supposedly 71 years old and sober for two. So what happened in that other 54 years? I still think there's more to be heard about this story. Some stuff is going to be uncovered. And when the truth comes out, maybe you and I will get back on and readdress this.
That'd be wonderful.
Bob Leonard, I wanted to make sure everybody knows as well that you are going to be doing a cool new gig that you're doing with CNN Headline News. Do tell a little bit more about that.
There's a show. It's almost an insipid little show. There's a show on CNN Headline News called Prime News with Vinnie Politan. It's on every day at 6 o'clock Eastern on HLN, CNN's Headline News channel.
Right.
Mid-year last year, I had written something on a friend's Facebook page, and I got a message from a woman who produces that show. And she said, I like what you just said. Would you consider being on our panel? The panel, they give them news stories, and the panel makes comments. And then they'll run another news story, talk about it, the panel makes comments, they all chat about it. So I said, sure, I'd love to. Well, they sent me the stories ahead of time. I wrote a few punchlines and some ideas. Went in and did the show, and they consequently had me back like four more times. So I did five times last year.
Wow.
And I just got an email yesterday asking me if I'd go back on tomorrow, which is Thursday, and I said, sure. So I'll be back on. I'll be on around 6:30 Eastern on CNN's HLN, Headline News.
That's Thursday, tomorrow night, January 6th, right?
Yes, yeah. And then whenever they want me back after that, I mean, you know, we live here in the Miami area, and I'm pretty close to the CNN studio, so it's pretty easy for me to get over there and just, you know, throw on a jacket and tie if I want to with a pair of shorts and sandals and do the show.
Very, very cool. So that's tomorrow night at 6 on Headline News with Bob Leonard. Now, will they be asking you for any one-liners about Ted Williams?
I don't know. They'll feed me the stories tomorrow when I get home. Because I go into work at 3 o'clock in the morning, as you know.
Right.
And I get home about noon. And around mid-afternoon, they'll feed me the stories that we'll be talking about. And I'll sit here and go over the stories and try to come up with some punchlines or just some valid points or whatever. I mean, they're going to give me more time than you did for this.
Well, you know, if you have any one-liners to add about this Ted Williams story, just go ahead and let them out here first.
I'd have to sit down and write a few, okay. And they'd probably be about baseball and his frozen head. So.
Well, we did manage to come up with a couple ourselves. Now, this is probably the most, I guess I'll find out, that this is the most controversial I've ever gotten on this menial little program. So
it's not a menial little program. It's a good show, and you're getting some listeners. And I say it's a good show because now I've been on it twice. So
I really, really want comments. And because we're not live and we can't field your phone calls during the show, I do encourage people to comment. There is a thread below the picture here. Of course, Bob, I'm not going to put your picture on the page. I'm going to exploit Ted Williams' popularity and put his picture there.
I would.
Right underneath.
Put it right next to the baseball player.
Right.
Long-lost son, the bastard son of the original Ted Williams.
There you go. Now you're off and running. And then right underneath that, there's a little comments column for anybody to add comments. And, of course, you can get on the Bill Murphy Show Facebook page and comment as well. I want this dialogue to continue. I want people to enlighten me. I wish I could have spent more time on the sobriety issue because, although I am very proud of people that come out of recovery and do what they do, I do think that people that live the straight and narrow life and do the basic day-to-day struggle and pound the pavement and try to get, you know, the determined people that go out there to get this work kind of go unrecognized, you know, in favor of the people who we have to do favors for.
You know why? Because that doesn't make news.
Ah.
That doesn't make news. It's like...
That's sad. That's a sad reality, you know?
It's a very sad reality, but it is a reality. If it makes news and it's sensational, it's going to get on the front page. I was always told, when I was learning how to do news, which I do now, and I think I'm fairly good at it, but I was told, if a guy is going to jump off a bridge, it's not news. If he's pushed, it's news.
Ah.
Nobody cares that the guy's out there wasting everybody's time trying to kill himself.
That's very true, man.
He's basically being very selfish and egotistical, and he's wasting our time. Somebody comes along and pushes him. It's murder. It's a story.
Well, there you go. That kind of wraps it up and also solidifies the one point about this whole story that we both agree on. Bob Leonard, I really appreciate it. Ooh, I hit the wrong button there. Let me get this one going here. And encourage everybody to come back tomorrow for another brand new show. Bob, I appreciate you coming on with such a short notice with me today, man.
Absolute pleasure, Bill. Anytime, man. I enjoy this a lot.
We'll have you on again soon. Okay, check it out tomorrow. Another new show and then another brand new Music Friday show for you coming up this Friday at BillMurphyShow.com. Catch you back here tomorrow, everybody.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH@BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.